Why, hello and welcome. Welcome to the Peer Pressure Podcast. I am Diane, sometimes known as Diane Kamikaze, and I am your host. The reason why I do this podcast is because I like to say I am a champion of heavy music. I've always found my favorite songs since I was a young kid had riffs, hooks, were either metal, hardcore, hard rock, or punk, or something fairly aggressive in attitude and sound. And I am all about appreciating the people that keep that world going, whether they're musicians, webmasters, other podcasters, record label and festival owners. It's important to me to recognize what these people do in that realm of music. So, I am here to bring them to you in a different context, more than a Wikipedia entry or a press release, a little more personal and a lot more fun. I'm a rocker for life, and I hope these episodes do make a difference. Send me feedback at diane@wfmu.org, and my Facebook page is Diane Kamikaze Farris, Rocker for Life. Like my page there, and I will keep everybody updated on podcast episodes in that space. Thanks so much for listening, and stay tuned. My guest today is John Zazula, Johnny Z, best known for being the head of Megaforce Records and the man who discovered Metallica. This was recorded in 2014, and as we speak now in 2019, he has a book out called Heavy Tales. Make sure you look for him because I believe the book is new, so he'll be doing a book tour. And this is part two. I highly recommend that you listen to part one, check it out, and enjoy. Here's Johnny. What music do you listen to now that would surprise the listeners?
I listen to a lot of my own stuff. I've been listening to the New Exodus a lot, of being honest. I listen to the Nimbin every day. I listen to Shattered Sun. I listen to Bar State. It's just that's all I'm like absorbing the music into my bloodstream, you know? So it's just part of me, like I'm a natural stereo for it. If I don't have to play it anymore after a while, I hear it.
Right, right.
I listen to everybody's stuff. I must listen to 5-6 things a day. You know, people send me things. And I'm backed up terribly. I hope people stop sending me things. You know, I'm so backed up. What can I say? Was to listen to any kind of music, I'll get everybody mad at me. But the last album I liked a lot that wasn't heavy metal was Bruno Mars.
Oh, wow.
I really like Bruno Mars. Mm-hmm. After that, it's Lamb of God all the way. I'm a really big Lamb of God fan. If you look at bands that are outside our periphery in terms of what we do. So that's my favorite heavy metal band for the last 5 years. But I don't really know anything.
The listeners just want to know what you like.
There are more things that I like, but I'm very funny. I play the same things, over, as I said before, over and over again. I've been listening to a lot of Old Testament lately.
Ah.
Over the Wall is like one of my favorite songs, and I'm also listening to Suicidal Tendencies. I go back in Lights, Action, Revolution. There's a song on there, Alone.
Oh, that's a great song.
That knocks me out.
Yeah, that's a great song.
And I still listen to Suicidal Tendencies, just to listen to Institutionalized. I never was able to get enough of that. And when I'm really, really crazy, I play the Ramones.
From one end to the other.
Yeah, I just go bouncing, bouncing, bouncing. That's as much as I could say. It's that simple.
Somebody wants to know, what's your fondest memory of Cliff Burton?
Cliff was our closest friend in Metallica.
Hmm.
And I would be gone at night or would leave at night, and Marshall would be busy because all the bands were living in the house. And little Ricky Zazula at the time would be either in bed or sitting on a chair. And Cliff was always reading her books to go to sleep or to calm her down. and just how sweet and gentle he was when he did that. Mm. Also, he had the greatest smile. He really did. And he was very warm. I mean, really warm. And what can I say? That's a person that I missed a lot for a long, long time and still do.
Hmm. That was really, really nice. Wow.
And that's the truth.
Yeah. That's a beautiful little, just a little snapshot there of him reading your daughter books.
Oh. What can I say?
Yeah. And you said that they were living in your house?
Well, before they ended up in that miserable, miserable music building in Jamaica, Queens, they stayed by us. And then from us, they went to the music building. And then from the music building, they went to Rock and Ray and Metal Joe's Funhouse, which is where the whole Old Bridge Militia started.
And are you in touch with the Old Bridge Militia?
I'm in touch with Ray and Joe as much as I can be. We know each other for 30-some-odd years.
And you teamed up to do the Hurricane Sandy benefit.
That was fantastic. We raised $40,000-some-odd.
Oh, wow.
You know, and we gave it directly to charity. I mean, we took the money, turned it into credit cards, and went to the people and just handed out $300 and $500 credit cards if they qualified and had FEMA numbers, etc. We handed it to them personally, Marsha and I, along with some other people that were very dedicated and wonderful. Under My Skin for Life, that organization was really very, very helpful. And the Old Bridge Militia, of course. That was nice because Rock and Roll Heaven got to work with Old Bridge Militia just like the old days felt. And the Old Bridge Militia basically are a nonprofit organization now, you know, giving it back to the people in the area who are less privileged than they are. And they started a 501c3 foundation to take the kids to movies and ball games and help people out when they can't feed their families.
Do you have any of record collection left?
A Kill 'Em All, a Ride the Lightning, and a Master of Puppets. I kept three copies for my kids for the day I'm not here. And other than that, I have nothing.
Wow.
Yeah, I had a big, giant, crazy garage moving sale, which has been going on for like a month. In the other ones, I gave away or sold all my metal, everything, everything. I'm moving to Florida. I got a little house in the tropics. I don't really want any of the stuff that I've been collecting all my life. I'm in that time of my life. I just want to chill out with everything around me. You know, not necessarily my... how can I explain it? When you collect, like Marshall and I collected stuff all over the world for 40 years, you feel like you're a curator of a museum.
Yes.
You're a curator of your record collection. You're a curator of your CD collection. You're a curator of your toy collection. You're a curator of your DVDs. I mean, Marsha and I bought stuff from Main Street USA in Disneyland out of the windows displays and had them in our house. We had a Dumbo elephant ride in our house. We will have nothing when we move on except for some gold records and some memories. Still working. I'm going to still be...
Was there a period of time where music was not a big deal in your life?
No. Music was always up there with love. Hmm. Yeah, music's a big deal. You know, there's a song by Lou Reed called Rock and Roll, and my life was saved by rock and roll. Hmm. That's the truth.
Well, and you saved many others through your
own actions. I hope so. Every time Marsha and I put out an album or put a record out into the world, we felt like we were giving birth to something very positive. You know, I think what was positive is that metal is a great way to let out your aggressions.
Yes.
And this world is so screwed up. If you don't have aggressions to let out, there's something wrong with you. And I'll tell you, there's nothing like headbanging and going out there and yelling back at the band and just just getting caught up in the intensity of the crowd. And there's nothing like it. You know, you don't have it in any other kind of music. You know, metal kids just don't sit there and watch.
Right.
You know? So, there you go. Life was saved by heavy metal.
Absolutely. I completely, completely concur. I feel like if I didn't listen to heavy music, I probably would have been in jail a long time ago.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of get you that.
There's a lot of people who think that.
Yeah. Yeah. Perfect outlet. What was it like to work with Raven?
What's a cool day in spring like, man? Mm. They're just great. Really great. And funny guys. The Gallagher brothers are a hoot. You know, all they do is practice their instruments, you know. People say, what are they doing now? They're sitting on their beds playing their guitars and their basses, you know. I don't know what Joe's doing, but he's probably hitting on some pillow somewhere, you know, with his sticks.
That's funny.
But they practice a lot, these guys.
Well, And it shows.
And it shows.
And then what kind of a relationship do you still have with the Anthrax guys?
We still talk. I mean, I'm not their manager, so all that direct relationship doesn't exist. But I still have things that make me have to speak to Scott every once in a blue moon, and Joey and Danny. Frankie, I don't speak to that much, but he's a good friend. And Charlie's cool. You know, everybody's cool, which is cool. You know, if they need me, they know where to get me. If I need them, I know where to get them.
And on a musical level, who do you think fit the best as their vocalist?
Joey, of course.
People want to know these things.
Joey's wonderful. And?
And at that period of time, like the New Jersey metal scene in the 80s, how did the punk scene affect the metal scene?
Well, you know, it was going on, but it really wasn't brought to my attention till Anthrax brought it to my attention with the New York hardcore symbol that they were using that belonged to the people in New York.
Yes.
That basically they publicized,
mm-hmm.
More than anything. We would go down to CBGB's and do the Cro-Mags and Murphy's Law, and all the bands that had to do with that genre at that time. And we get to know people in these bands, you know, and it was never my favorite music, but I always understood it so well, and it had its place, you know?
Yeah, again, it's aggression.
It's pure aggression. You know, I always thought that SOD were the perfect cross between punk and metal. I thought they were right there in the pocket. I think that basically, you know, everything that's going on today is working out beautifully. Everybody's happy. The bands in the past, they're all legendary now. You know what I like about listening to Metallica? What's nice to me? It brings me back to the time. I can still smell the studio on Kill 'Em All.
Oh.
You know?
Was that really cool. Was that a fragrant smell?
Yeah, well, it was musty in there, you know?
Yeah, I bet.
Opening the bell tolls, time marches on, you know? What was Hetfield thinking when he wrote those lyrics, man?
I don't know. You know. Did you ever get inside of his head about his lyrics ever?
I tried. Well, you have to understand, this was a long time ago, and I remember a lot of things, and I don't remember a lot of things. We spent an awful lot of time together.
Mm-hmm.
But I know a lot of why things happened and a lot of where the genius came from and respected it greatly and was awed by it, actually.
So Megaforce Records being actually I was very proud that there is a New Jersey address.
Oh,
know,
yes.
On Megaforce Records. I mean, in terms of, that was one of those things. It's like I would buy everything that came out on Megaforce, right? It was just super strong label and your hometown heroes. Like, and you were one step ahead, so I knew there, you know, you could trust what was on the label. And, but really proud because, you know, as metal went from like the new wave of British heavy metal and then thrash kind of became global was like, wow, like New Jersey is one of
made
the...
Made its mark.
Yeah, yeah, made its
it had
mark.
Its stake in it.
Created a mecca, you know.
It was very cool. And speaking of New Jersey, there were several bands that actually came out of the area. One was introduced to me through Ray and Joe from the Old Bridge Militia. Mm-hmm. They started their own label, Tungsten Records.
Oh.
And if you're lucky enough to have one of these Tungsten records on Megaforce, you would have a Blessed Death.
Oh, right.
Record.
Oh, was that a split?
Yeah.
Oh.
Basically, Joe and Ray had the album. They wanted to put it out. And I asked if I could put it out for them. And they said, okay.
Wow.
So we put it out through Megaforce. But the actual signing label who was with us at the time was called Tungsten.
Oh, nice.
And that was Ray and Joe's label. And people who have the Blessed Death, I think they have a really rare record right now. I understand it's going for quite a bit.
Wow. I'll have to dig
it up.
You know,
it's a good record, and it goes for a bit. And then there was the band that was part of the original tape business that came out of Rock and Roll Heaven. You know, we
yes.
had... demo tapes of all kinds of bands, and we sold them out of the store to raise money for the bands.
Mm-hmm.
We sold them just like they were records. We had them on display, and one of our biggest successes was Overkill.
Power in Black.
Overkill, they, of course, ended up on Megaforce Records. It was very thrilling to have a band like that. I'm a big, big fan of the band. And, one of my favorite songs from Overkill to this day is going to be Rotten to the Core. You know, that's a great song, and there's many, many more.
I had Bobby on the show a couple of months ago, right when the new record came out.
He looks like he's a 25-year-old strapping kid.
Yeah.
And then, of course, from New Jersey, we talked about him earlier, Mark Tonillo, Wolf Fortune and Company, Dave DiPietro, Glenn Evans, T.T. Quick, they were on Megaforce on a label I had more for hard rock called Avalanche Records, which wasn't successful, but at least I got to put out the T.T. Quick album. I got to
yes.
say it. I remain today a very dear friend of Dave's and Mark's, and just saw David the other weekend. He has this group called The Crossing that are fantastic. Really fantastic. Three-part harmonies. It's with his wife, Stephanie, and John Albino, if you know John from the rock scene in New Jersey. He's been around for years, and he's fantastic. That about wraps me up. New Jersey, you had some great bands there, and still do. Well, listen, I hope you don't mind, but I have to go.
I do not mind at all. John, I just want to thank you. There's so many things that maybe seemed like it was like everyday business to you, but you set the stage and did so much hard work. It's for us to really benefit. And, you know, the numbers of people that you've affected with your taste and what you've done with music, and you were the guy that took that chance, like, to really give heavy metal a voice and to give bands a platform that they didn't have before. I mean, kudos to you, and you've got a big heart, and thank you so much.
Well, thank you, and let me say one thing to you.
Yes.
Remember, it was never just Johnny. It was always Johnny and Marcia.
Johnny and Marcia, of course.
Let the records know that.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you for clarifying that, and tell Marcia thank you.
Okay. Thank you. All right, everybody, have a pleasant day. Bye.
That's perfect. Bye. Thanks to John and Marcia Zazula for all they've done for heavy music. You can check out John's website. It's johnzazula.com. That is spelled JONZAZULA.com. And his book is called Heavy Tales, The Metal, The Music, The Madness. And that concludes another podcast episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. More on the way. I am Diane Kamikaze. Check my Twitter and my Instagram. Handle is one word, Diane Kamikaze. Kamikaze ends with an E. On Facebook, you can find me as Diane Kamikaze Farris, Rocker for Life and Making a Difference. The full link to my index of shows and podcasts is can be found on wfmu.org/playlists/DK. That's a capital D and a capital K. I'm going to be working on encore presentations, and I've got years of interviews and podcasts. So if there's something that you'd like to see reposted that you missed, please get in touch. Send me email, diane@wfmu.org. And be sure to subscribe to the show. And if you like it, please rate it and review it. Wow. WFMU. Peer pressure. Thank you. See you next time.